Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, including this little organization you may heard of called the UFC.
UFC.
We will talk about
what do they do?
They train in the UFC.
They're the gym proprietors.
Yes, they're the gym proprietors of the UFC.
You can't even get through that.
I can't even get through that. A huge weekend at UFC 178.
Let's calm down with huge.
It was huge.
You know what they could have called it? They could have called it implications. UFC implications, because even though it was, I want to credit the guy you sent the tweet from.
It was Josh Gross.
Okay, Josh Gross. I think he retweeted somebody, though, calling it a night of co-main events, which perfectly, I think that sums up what I was trying to say last week. And of course, I couldn't do it in 10 minutes. Somebody in 140 characters nailed it. But that's exactly what this was. But the implications of all these co-main events is a lot of stuff going on in the UFC.
So I took his tweet and tweeted back at him on Saturday to take it one step further. And I said, I've been to plenty of rock shows where the opening act blows the main event off the stage. Meaning, like, this could still be a kick-ass card worth $60, and you may not know half of the people on the card. And turns out I was right.
Yeah, okay. All
you didn't think that? What more do you want out of a card?
It was a great card. I think when you're asking for money, you got to have that. You still have. I don't want to do this argument again with the top tier and your main event guy.
Sure.
I think you got to have a main event, though, if you want $60 from somebody.
You had KOs. You had controversy.
You had a great night of fights.
I don't know what else you wanted.
You had a great night of fights. You didn't have. You cannot tell me, though, you had a main event there. You still cannot tell me.
No.
And you know, it was great, though, because you got Demetrius Johnson stopping Caricio, a couple more of these where he can finish the fight. That's going to build him up. That's going to make him somebody people might want to watch. I don't know if he's there yet, and I know you keep going, what is it going to take? It's going to take a couple
of
fights.
No, I mean, because you struggle with this, right? Because when you see Chris on a card, you go, who is this guy? He's ranked 10th in the flyweight division. He gets subbed in 2 minutes in the second after Demetrius literally just does whatever Demetrius wanted to do in the first round.
Right.
Almost like calling his shot. And I don't want to degrade Chris in that regard, but
it was a dominant fight. It was a win that you wanted to see the champion have.
What I'm saying, though, is it's a win you wanted to see him have, but you can't really he doesn't move up in the pound for pound, right?
No.
Because who is...
And he's got, the interest in the division isn't the same, but I think he could do the same thing if we kind of keep seeing it go forward. And it's a little bit different, but I mean, what I'm starting to think of is Anderson Silva. We had that little run with Anderson Silva. The Damian Maia fight was part of it, and some of those other fights where nobody was really giving him a challenge. But as he kept going through those guys, you wanted to see him more. Like, this guy keeps winning and winning and winning. It's going to take a lot more for Mighty Mouse in that regard, but that's the career path he has in a division where nobody knows anybody.
And you think, you know, when you've got Carriasso, losing in the second round, you want, like you said, more of these, but you want him to go out and essentially beat a guy with a punch from Mighty Mouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the Anderson Silva stuff you're looking for.
Right.
The unattainable things that you want out of an athlete that's that dominant at the weight class. He's the first and only flyweight champion and is unblemished since then.
Right.
So you've got these two things where Carriasso was the best available at the time. There's a bunch of guys above Chris Carriasso that he's already beaten, and I don't know that I'm that interested in. Dodson is okay. A rematch with Dodson is okay. I'm not super excited about it because I think Demetrius Johnson, much like George St. Pierre, much like Anderson Silva, fight IQ off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to watch that 5-round fight and go, yep, I got this one. I'm going to end this in one round. You know,
right.
I don't see anybody in the flyweight division that's going to challenge him. Now, if he goes up to bantamweight, we're having a different discussion.
Yeah, well, I think he needs to stay where he is, and the UFC is going to need to protect this division. They're going to have to co-main event this division with some bigger cards.
Yes, with Conor McGregor. That's what they need to co-main event.
No, I think this needs to be on the card with a heavyweight championship fight. This needs to be on a card.
Yeah.
You don't go any lower than you really need, if you want Mighty Mouse to draw some money, because he's not drawn money yet. We don't have numbers in yet, but he's not drawn money yet. I'm going to guarantee that, especially after looking at the Fox Sports 1 ratings, which we're going to talk about in a minute, even though it was a great undercard. If you want this guy to draw money, set him up to win. And I get that some of these cards aren't falling the way they want them to, and you're going to have injuries and things like that. But you need to set these guys up in this bantamweight, in this flyweight division. You need to put them right next to those heavy hitters as far as pay-per-views go. You've got Chris Weidman. You've got the heavyweights. You've got the light heavyweights, whether it's John Jones or some of the other guys there. They have to co-main with those guys for people to really get interest going. And they're going to have to do it for a while. This is a long-term, hey, you know, we've got a 6 to 18 month plan here. I should probably even go higher there. We've got a 12 to 18 month plan here to get these guys some notoriety, to get these guys next to other guys where we need a 500,000 pay-per-view buys to look at these lower weight guys. We need them to be.
They weren't even close to that.
No, so. And they need to be on those Fox cards, not as headliners, but next to other guys.
Let me ask you a business question, though. When you're the UFC and you're doing more and more of these events year in and year out.
Oh, and
so how do you do that? Because you can't. And I'm using waste as a commodity, right? I'm wasting Demetrius Johnson, but you can't really waste putting two title fights on one card.
They're being wasted now, though, anyhow, if you're in these cards where there's not interest. And again, we don't know that bottom line. We talked about this last week. UFC might be totally fine putting on the occasional card with these guys at championship level for $100,000.
$100,000
to $150,000. But here's my point in this, Eric, and that's not that that's bad. Bellator, again, would kill babies for
sure,
those numbers.
Yeah, but
sometimes.
Like you're saying all this stuff, and I don't disagree with you, except for the fact that I was sitting there on Saturday night fully entertained.
Going,
this is exactly what I want to watch.
Anybody who bought that card is going to be fully entertained, but that's not the only audience you want to reach. They'll keep doing that audience. They might build it up a little bit, but if you want any of these guys to get above 300,000 pay-per-view buys, you're going to have to make that decision to do it. Now, that may be a decision they don't want to do or can't do because they're stretched so thin. I don't have any problem with that. But I also don't want to hear people tell me how much this card should have been great and it was an amazing night of entertainment and be mad when other people don't buy it. I know that's not what you're saying, but you know there's certainly that sentiment out there. There's the guy on Twitter like, told you so. Shut up. You didn't know this card was going to be this, and there was no main event to draw the dollars in.
Right. But I guess my hope is that, like in my case, I had a couple people over that don't normally watch, and they had a great time. My hope is that that may have happened a couple times, and I'm not saying that that's going to turn the rumored 300,000 pay-per-view buys into 600,000, but I think when you start to see these cards shape up again, and maybe we get a Tim Kennedy, Yoel Romero rematch, maybe that's a thing that happens, or you see Conor McGregor on a card, or Kat Zingano, or by God, Dominic Cruz, you're probably like you're telling me that Dominic Cruz in that title fight, you're not plunking money down for that?
No, I think I am at this point, but I still think there's a lot of other people going, I don't know. He's a former champ. It was a great win, an amazing win. We're worried though, not a lot of people saw that win.
Yeah, well,
you were talking about the ratings because
they were at like 700,000, and then people watched the Brian Ebersole, John Howard, and it plummeted.
Oh, really?
Plummeted. Because
I was going to say that's not a terrible number, but
no, because people were super excited. Like I said, we've had this debate back and forth. Do people tune into the Fox Sports 1 to make that final game time decision?
So they lost a ton of viewers throughout the show.
Like almost 60%.
Wow.
By the time they got there.
And that Dominic, man, that was amazing. And again, my schedule only allowed me to see that last fight on the card in the prelims. And I was amazed. Dominic Cruz went in there, did what he had, a tough guy in Mizugaki.
If you say so, he didn't look very tough.
He's a tough guy,
no,
though.
No, he's totally a tough guy. But if you were a casual viewer, we refer to him as the Buffalo Wild Wings fan, you see that Mizugaki's ranked fifth, you would go, well, I mean, below that, those guys have to be tomato cans then, because Dominic Cruz is just that good. If you looked at his movements, being gone for 3 years, he looked insane.
That was the most impressive part. I think it was nice to see that from him. I think he's one of those guys, when I look at this fight and look at how it went, we talked about it last week, does he get a title shot after a win?
Yep.
No. Does he get a title shot after this win? Yeah.
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 Well, no, and he does. He's we'll talk to Hafi Alsunsau, who's obviously very angry.
Who's close to that
title
shot.
Who's very angry about that, because both he and Brian Caraway this weekend thought that a win they're facing TJ Dillashaw, except Dominic Cruz rolls in and ruins that thing. So we'll talk to him in a little bit. But a huge win. The problem with that win, though, and they had the same problem in Bellator on Friday night. Their main event was over in a minute. There's no time for anyone to call their friends. The Forrest Griffin, Stefan Bonner formula, right? There's no time for me to tell you how awesome Dominic Cruz is because it's over in 60 seconds.
Yeah, but I don't. If you're counting on that once in a lifetime, first year of the Ultimate Fighter finale,
if the fight doesn't go longer than a minute, nobody can text people and go, "Are you watching this?"
I don't know how much that even works today.
Even with the 60% drop off from people that started watching it and then
turned it off. I mean, that's people seeing people seeing what they didn't like.
Yes.
And then they just went away. That's different. If I'm watching it and I like it, I might. As big a fight fans as we are and as crazy as our schedules are, because a lot of times we both watch these on delays, I can't even count on one hand times I've texted you or hit you. I might hit you on Twitter. If you're on Twitter,
sure,
but I don't think that's as big a thing now as it was back when that happened on The Ultimate Fighter.
Perhaps, although I was one of those guys going, I cannot believe that this just happened, and then here, I literally was what I've talked about. I had not ordered it, and then Dominic Cruz wins in a minute, and I'm like,
yeah, I gotta see Katzengano!
I am all in.
That was you.
Yep, I gotta see Katzengano, and she did not disappoint. Amanda Nunes had a great first round, and I thought for a second you were going to see a big upset.
Yeah, the apple cart get turned over on UFC there.
Exactly. And then that did not happen at all. Katzengano coming out.
Well, remember, Kat's coming off an injury, too. We talked about Dominic Cruz. I mean, not everybody looks like Dominic Cruz coming off an injury.
Well,
so it looked like once she got into her rhythm, Kat just owned this fight.
And Kat may be like Donald Cerrone. You know, they talked to Donald Cerrone after the fight going, why did you let Eddie Alvarez do that to you for a round? And he's like, I'm a slow starter. I just can't do it in the first round.
Well, let's remember, that is still Eddie Alvarez, and we'll get to that in a minute. So I thought that was a little unfair.
I thought Kat looked great. And then we get to the controversy, and we haven't even talked about this, but
no.
I don't know your thoughts about this.
So
let me set it up real quick. Yoel Romero, Tim Kennedy, Yoel Romero destroying Tim Kennedy prior to about a minute left in the second round. Tim Kennedy pours it on and nearly knocks Yoel out.
Almost as close to save by the bell as you can get in MMA.
They get him on a stool. His team pulls what most are calling one of the dirtiest tricks in the book, which is they leave the cage, but man, we forgot that stool.
Oh.
Oh.
And we're not going to have a million-dollar baby incident, are we? We got to get that stool out of there, right?
So they give him another 28 seconds, and he ends up knocking out Tim Kennedy.
Well, don't forget, there was also the Vaseline issue.
Yes, there was Vaseline in his eyes.
Put too much on, so they had to wipe that out. So basically what you had was a 60-second round break for a guy who was reeling at the end of that second round, turned into a 90-second round break.
Yep.
And that doesn't sound huge, but if you want to ask a fighter who's in the cage, how much they'll take every second they can get, especially after they've been rocked. I mean, we've seen guys in rounds that are able to get up, and if they can just withstand it and get to the break, they're much better off. Tim Kennedy was upset about this. You could see he was mad. I think he's going to file an official protest if he hasn't already this week.
He was going to file.
Because he was quickly knocked out in the third after that.
Yes, brutally knocked out with 38 seconds.
And part of that is to, as a guy, and these guys are professionals, and I get it. You've got to keep your eye on the ball and not let outside factors affect you. But these guys are also human. So you have Tim Kennedy, and you always say to a guy, I mean, guys like Chael Sonnen, they want to get in a guy's head. They want to mess with a guy and take him off his game. Tim Kennedy's coming out after that second round feeling great. He's coming back in this fight. He's got the guy on the ropes. Let me just get out there and finish this. So he's the guy on the other side chomping at the bit.
Yep.
And then the stool's in there, and he's mad. And then the guys, they got to wipe the vest, and he's mad. And why is the ref letting this happen? All of a sudden, you get a little bit of a victim complex, I'm sure. Like, why are they doing this to me?
Yeah.
Now I got to fight. I got to get over all this, and then he's out of his game.
Well, and with Tim Kennedy, if you follow him on Twitter, he rarely has a good day. So he's already primed to be that guy anyway. He's just angry about everything. And so he confronts Yoel in the back. Yoel claims that he doesn't understand English that well, and so he didn't know what was going on. Most of the MMA luminaries on Twitter were spot on to point out that the bell is in English.
Right. Yeah, it
rings. Is that a thing? Like, it's a universal, it's not in English, it's a universal noise. Well, you know when the bell goes to start doing stuff.
It's a foul if one of your guy reaches over and punches your opponent in the head. That's not loud.
Right.
Let's make this simple. This goes back to the fence grabbing. This goes back to the eye pokes that I've talked about. Let's just make this very, very simple. You leave the stool in there, that's a point for your guy. Your fighter has to be responsible for that.
Is that a big enough? But that wouldn't have changed this outcome. Is that a big enough foul?
It wouldn't change this outcome. But I think some of the victimization and the frustration would go away from a guy like Tim Kennedy. Because there's a lot of guys.
But Tim's point of view is that the rules state that if he doesn't get off the stool in the given time.
Right. And
he's done.
That's a little bit of a different matter. But yeah, we can take this two ways. One thing, if your guys forget the stool, that's a point. There's a penalty. It's going to happen.
Sure.
I don't care if it's an accident you grabbed the fence. I don't care if it's an accident you forgot the stool. You're screwing the fight up. You've seen guys who lose takedowns to fence grabbing, lose a fight, and you could tell that they were knocked out of their game a little bit. And again, they're professionals. They should stay on point, but it's got to throw you off when you're training and you're doing this and you're in your camp. And we're going to talk about that later in the show, talking about camps, especially when you talk to Rafael. It's a situation where there's going to be frustration, and we just need to take out that frustration and know a guy's going to get penalized. Hey, John Jones, I know you're not trying to poke anybody in the eyes. Yeah, right. But you're going to lose a point
right.
when you do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Control your hands. You don't lose any more points. You can fix that very simply.
Sure.
You won't lose the point. You don't poke the guy in the eye. How about that? You won't lose the point. You grab the cage. You don't grab it. Okay? Your guy takes the stool out. Yeah. The other thing, you ring the bell. He doesn't answer to the bell. I think that's clear as day. That's the other argument here that I think is getting overlooked because a lot of people are going back to the time thing, and you need to set it up so people know what's going on. But, yeah, the guy didn't get off the stool at the bell. Now, how long does he have? It seems to be up in the air. I don't know. His guys didn't have the stool out of the cage. When are you answering the bell? Do you got to be at that line? Is this something we need to codify at some point? You need to be at the line when the bell rings?
Well, maybe you do because in this case, let's pretend we're Yoel. Okay, he's making up insane excuses in the back because he's of clear mind at this point, and now he has to figure out all of these things. But in that moment, let's pretend we're him. We've been rocked. We don't even know what day it is, mm-hmm. right? The bell rings. We probably don't even hear it. So,
right. And if you can't hear it, you shouldn't get up and fight.
This is what I'm saying. So if you can't hear it and respond to the bell, the fight is over for your safety, not because you're a weak human being, not because you're cheating, but because for the safety of you and your career, this fight is over.
Yes. I agree with you, and I don't think this will be overturned.
It will not. I mean, some of the folks in the UFC and especially some of the people on your beloved commission have come out and said rarely do we ever do anything like this, and so it probably won't. What you might see, though, is what Ken Evans would call a feature fight of a rematch between Yoel Romero and Tim Kennedy.
I've heard that the UFC didn't want to necessarily do that, and that was just earlier in the week, so I guess we'll wait and see. I think Tim Kennedy deserves some consideration here. He still got knocked out, but it's tough to look at because you have a different argument here because you saw what happened in that second round. And when you see what happens in that second round and then you see the guy get a little frustrated, obviously. He was frustrated coming out in that third round.
Yes.
He wanted to get it going. Come on. You see it a lot with guys, too.
Well, you saw it.
This goes back to the refs when they don't stand a guy up quick enough.
Yep.
Because according to the rules, they're allowed to pull a guy up, and a lot of guys lie on the ground. Let's figure that out. We don't need to go WWE style, but, you know, a five count's not a bad idea.
No, but we're nearly 100 events away from GSP and BJ Penn at UFC 94 with the Vaseline on his back.
Yeah, I remember that one.
We still haven't fixed it.
Yeah.
We put Vaseline in Yoel's eyes.
The cut guys are the UFC's guys. So yes. The UFC apologized for part of it, too. Yeah, sorry, some of that's our fault. So you had a bunch of things compound. You had a guy ready to fight, and it's frustrating to see that. You love to see the finish on that fight, the way it went, but you want to see it in a clean way, and it doesn't feel like a clean win.
No, because, like I said, the whole first round was Yoel. He was half of the second round. Tim Kennedy weathered the storm, and that was clearly the strategy, right, is to mm-hmm. wear Yoel out. He's a big guy, carries a lot of muscles, get him worn out, and then find that hole and capitalize, and Tim got as close as he possibly could to win without actually winning and then got knocked out for his trouble. We move up to clearly the main event of the night, which was the Conor McGregor show, as he knocks out Dustin Poirier in a minute and 46 seconds. And I have to say, I was a fan before this, but it's fun to see everybody jumping on the Conor bandwagon.
Well, what's interesting here is like the UFC has actually had to justify his pay for the night, which I find interesting.
Because he
made the most money. He made $150.
Right, $150 in his fourth fight in the UFC, $75 to show up, $75 to win.
Well, he's also featured prominently, not that he shouldn't be, on every piece of literature they've got in Ireland right now. Like you get your cable bill and there's Conor McGregor waving hello.
Did you watch the? Did you watch the event itself, or did you just watch fights?
I saw the fights.
Okay, so you probably missed the
part.
I feel
like you're trying to trick me.
No. No, this is important because I feel you missed the part. I saw them release a press release early in the day on Saturday, but most people don't read that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In the broadcast, 10% of the tickets sold in the arena were Irish from Ireland.
Really?
10%.
This was Vegas, right?
Yes.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, you know, for all the people that want to go, what are they doing with it? This is what they're doing with this guy, because mm-hmm. he's a draw. A huge draw.
Not just a draw in Ireland, but I mean everybody loves.
Right.
I know your name's O'Brien, so you're...
Yes.
You're required by law.
Required by law to be a fan of Conor McGregor.
Of Conor McGregor. But I mean, this Dustin Poirier one was huge, too.
Huge.
That's he's got a title shot coming, right? Conor McGregor, you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got to figure that whole thing out, because this week, of course, he's, which is, again, why the Irish love him, and he's a national hero there, and why general fight fans love him, because he's not interested in the belt because he knows that it's going to come. That's just kind of his personality, right? He just wants another fight. So he was telling everybody on Twitter yesterday that he's fighting Diego Sanchez at UFC 180.
That's a fun fight.
Like, and Dana's like, No. We are going to overpay you to the eyes of most people. We are going to prominently put you everywhere, but there are limits. You are not Joe Silva. You may not assign your own shots of what you're going to do at UFC.
I am looking forward to that Conor McGregor, Diego Sanchez
go
fight.
Fix your thumb.
I love that fight. That's a great idea.
That is a great idea. I don't know that it moves him anywhere, and I don't know. Do we really want to see Diego get brutalized by Conor McGregor?
Every week.
Okay.
Every week. You want to talk about co-main events I'm going to pay for.
That is not a show.
If that is a show, that's a lot better than Ultimate Divas, Ultimate Fighter, whatever they've got going on.
You're terrible.
I just real quick, and then we'll get to the co-main events here. 12 seconds. Literally. Literally. And not like a 12-year-old girl uses the word literally. Literally. I made it through 12 seconds of the Ultimate Fighter. She sleeps all day. I can't believe her. She thinks she likes small talk. I can't believe it. Click. That was it. That's all I did. I'm going to have to watch the fights later.
Which is funny, because I did the same thing. I wasn't quite as annoyed as you were, but I
think the coaches should both get a belt if they make it through the season.
I was watching it, and then you just, the side talking is just distracting, because I wanted to watch the fight. So I just kind of left it in the corner while I played Xbox, and then when the fight was on, I went, okay, we'll watch this now.
So Donald Cerrone.
Yes. So Donald Cerrone.
Welcoming Eddie Alvarez to the UFC.
Yes. And let's not forget, this has happened time and time again of guys that come from other organizations that are supposed to be world beaters that turn out to be very, very average in the UFC. Very average.
This was the fight I was trying to give a lot of credit to last week, and now you're saying they're both very, very average.
No. I'm saying Donald Cerrone on a 5-fight win streak in the lightweight division is the real deal. And beating,
I said last week I was surprised Eddie took this fight as his, because he's in, and he deserves credit for that too.
And the problem with this fight is when you lose it as Eddie Alvarez and you lose it in the fashion that you did, what do you do next with him, right?
I think
Jim Miller? Is that what's happening next?
I think
next?
You give him time for a full camp. I would love to see. I know the fight everybody else is talking about. They want Cerrone and Miles Jury. I would really like to see Eddie Alvarez and Miles Jury. Let's see where Eddie really is, and let's see where Miles really is.
I saw that, and I'm not really sure how Miles Jury jumps up to Donald Cerrone.
Well, I think he was supposed to have the fight before, and he wants it now, obviously, after.
Well, of course
after,
he does,
because after Cerrone comes off a big win.
Cerrone's on a big win. Miles Jury's undefeated. He does need a real test, but. And I guess Cerrone, to go back to the Conor McGregor, the reason why we love Donald Cerrone is because he'll fight everybody all day, every day. And if that's the case, he's just going to fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's just going to, I don't care about the title shot. It'll come or it won't come. I'm going to fight and get paid.
Well, the interesting thing, though, he's one of those guys that's telling, I don't know if you saw him on Twitter after all this talk. I think this happened on Wednesday. It says, yo, at Fury Jury. That's Miles Jury.
That is Miles Jury.
On the Twitters.
Detroit.
Yeah. Don't try and start Twitter blank. You had the paper for December. You turned it down. Don't come out now and say you're ready. So you're saying Cerrone will fight anytime, anywhere, but he doesn't want any of Miles Jury at this point, which I think is a smart move for Donald Cerrone. But he's going to lose a little bit of that fight anytime, anywhere luster when a lot of fans want to see this fight now.
Yes, although if that's a true, and I don't have anything in front of me to prove that that's true or not true.
The tweet is true.
I'm not denying the tweet. If they had a bout scheduled in December that Miles wouldn't sign, and now Miles is signing because Cerrone's on a roll, I would call foul on that too and look for a different fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's obviously a lot of background here, but I mean, you're still, if you're going to be the guy that fights anywhere, anytime, and that's going to be your gimmick, and you want to roll in that Conor McGregor sphere, you can't come out on Twitter and tell. I would tell a guy no and not be on Twitter about it. I mean, I don't know what's going on here.
Sure. Yeah.
But again, I'm going to go back to the fact I would rather see. I want Eddie Alvarez to get credit for taking the fight when he did against the guy who's got a lot of UFC experience. I want to give Eddie Alvarez a chance to show what he can do in the UFC. And I think a fight with Miles Jury and Eddie Alvarez is a great looking fight for any card. But if he loses to Miles, he's got a tough road ahead.
It's a terrible road.
So it's definitely very interesting to kind of see what's going to work out here for Eddie Alvarez. Dallas Cerrone with a win, we kind of knew where he was going. Now, you know, the title's going to come, so to speak, as you've said a couple times in the show. Eddie Alvarez, we didn't know where he would go with a win necessarily because he's from another organization. Donald Cerrone would be a big win. We certainly don't know where he's going with the loss. I feel like he's going to get some consideration. Dana White, UFC, they've shown that over and over again. Guys that step up for them, they'll step up for their guys. So I'm thinking Eddie's probably, after showing up for this, has got his pick of a couple of guys for his next fight. I would like to see that Miles Jury fight, but you have to wonder what he takes from that.
Well, and this obviously lightweight gets more cumbersome. You've got Rafael Dos Anjos fighting Nate Diaz as they welcome Nate Diaz back to lightweight. Nurmagomedov is waiting for his shot. Melendez and Pettis are taken, so Cerrone's needs a dance partner, right? I guess Miles Jury makes sense, but who knows?
For Cerrone? Yeah,
yes.
This is one of those things we can talk about it a lot. We're not going to know for 8 weeks how all these things are going to shake out.
Right,
so.
For sure. But yeah, so I, to go back to what I was just talking about, I really feel that they had a solid event with, like you said, a lot of implications. Some of that's still flushing out. Coming up next, we'll talk to Rafael Assuncao about some of those implications because they kind of screwed up his life, sort of.
He's got 37 fights. He's won in a row, right? Close to that.
245 wins in a row.
Right, no title shot.
No title shot.
See how he feels about that.
We'll talk to him next. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Yo, it was born with the Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans. Another big doubleheader this weekend in the UFC. Going to Halifax, and we are also going to Stockholm, Sweden. From the Halifax card, though, it is a big one. Rafael Assuncao taking on Brian Caraway. A big deal here, as Rafael Assuncao was nearly guaranteed a title shot, and then Dominic Cruz is back, and he wins in decisive fashion, so he will be facing TJ Dillashaw next. Assuncao has to get past Caraway and then see what's next. He joins us right now. Rafael, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Eric?
I am awesome. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Just finalizing some of the weight cut, but I'm feeling great.
How is the weight feeling?
Good, good. I've got 10 more pounds to go. You know, those are the, you know, the very crucial pounds there. But I'm feeling good.
Would you say that last 10 pounds is always the hardest?
Yeah, the last 5 pounds. The last 5.
So this, Rafael, this week has been kind of an up and down one for you. You've got a great fight on a great card on Saturday night, but with the return of Dominic Cruz, it kind of derails some of your plans. How are you feeling going into this week?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling motivated. It didn't change a lot of my plans because nothing was planned to begin with, you know. But, you know, it just changed, you know, some of the, you know, it changed the path of timing and stuff, but you know, for me, it's I'm still motivated, just as if, you know, I was going in there for a title fight, for a rematch or whatever. You know, I'm taking my opponent very seriously, and I'm looking forward to Saturday night.
Rafael, do you feel that the UFC is going to make you win 28 more fights before you get a title fight, or like, what do you feel is the prognosis there?
I know, right? I got to win about 6 more probably. 12-fight win streak.
Right, for sure. Brian Caraway this weekend, though, a fun fight. There might be people tuning in on Saturday night that aren't very familiar with him, but he's a game opponent, and style-wise, I think a fun one to watch you take on.
Okay, yeah, I think it's going to be a good fight. He, you know, what my advantages are his weakness, I would say, but my advantages are what he's used to, because he fights a lot of aggressive guys, and so, you know, I've got something in mind that pretty good as far as you know, game plan and stuff, and like I said, he's a game opponent. You know, I have to really be watchful, gotta be really be watchful, and you know, not to overly expose myself. But, you know, I'm well-trained. I'm well-focused. You know, and it, nothing changes. It's not because whatever happened to my title shot situation that it's not changing the way I'm looking forward to the fight at all. So I'm looking just as important fight, and I'm, you know, I'm just excited just as of any other fight.
Well, I think that mentality has obviously served you well in your UFC career. You've always been a fighter's fighter, somebody who wants to get in there and fight. So I didn't anticipate that the news would rattle you at all. It's just kind of a bummer because if you've been watching your career as we have here, you think to yourself, you're kind of in that unenviable Michael Bisping position where you win and win and win and win and win, and somehow you keep getting farther and farther and farther away from a title shot.
Yeah, well, actually, somebody has mentioned that Michael Bisping to me before, but, you know, the only difference is that I think Michael Bisping is a little bit more of a household name, and he makes a lot more money than I.
Well, we should fix that for sure.
Yeah, that's the only difference there. So, you know, hopefully that doesn't hurt me too much, and also I'm not getting any younger, you know.
Right.
I don't feel old. You know, I'm not even at my prime yet, but, you know, if you want to get a, you know, your title shot and get those opportunities as you know, as quick as you can, then try to maintain that position, you know, which is everybody's goal.
So is this something where you are going to wait then if you get through this fight with Caraway and you're going to wait to see who wins that title fight? You've got Cruz with the title shot now. Are you going to wait and sit out until the winner of that fight to see what happens there?
I mean, honestly, I haven't talked to any of my team or even my bosses, UFC matchmakers and Dana. But I'll probably just sit and wait because, you know, it's a lot on your body when we go through. That's why, you know, it's fighting every month. I don't think it's, you know, every couple months. It's not because we go through a lot, you know, just training alone. It's very demanding on the body.
Rafael, what's been interesting this weekend is the UFC has been releasing a lot of video out of Stockholm, and they were showing a different look at training that you don't normally get to see. I mean, normally you get to see the sparring, and then there's an interview and those sorts of things, but they were showing some of the more grueling regimens that you guys go through. And the Swedish the Swedish fighters were talking, much like you just were, about how brutal an actual camp is, and that you want to get that win and you want to get to that point because it's so awful in camp that you just want that thing, and then you want some time for yourself to kind of recover from all of it.
You do really want some time after, you know, that's for sure. It's not something that it's like laziness that you don't want to, you know, I just want to chill for. It's not, you know, it's just your body has to recover. And, you know, you want to make plans, you know, for yourself, your personal life and stuff. So it's a lot on the line. You know, obviously, being a champion, maintaining, you know, it's a little bit easier. I never was a champ, but, you know, it's a little bit easier to, like, maintain your status. You know, you're getting good pays and stuff versus if you're you know, just hustling, you know, running, trying to, you know, run around looking for a title shot for years. You know, a little bit harder than, but you know, we'll see. I can't really say it's not my company.
Have you changed how you approach your camp since the rib injury that did cost you the title shot before?
Yeah, exactly. So with the injury, rehab, and then going, you know, straight from rehab to training camp, it's been a long time. That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, it's been quite a long time since the injury through rehabilitation, of course, and then straight up going into camp. You know, so it's kind of like a long route. You know, it's not that I was just sitting at home and waiting, you know, for a fight. You know, I had to go through injury, again, rehab, and then straight on to a training camp, and then obviously the fight of, you know, I'm here.
Yes.
Now. So this whole process is a long process.
Rafael Sunsal joining us. He will be fighting Brian Caraway this Saturday night. Rafael, it is a pleasure to talk to you. I am so excited to see your hand raised this weekend. So maybe 17 fights from now, we can get that title shot for you.
Hey, thank you very much. Hopefully sooner.
Take care, my friend. Be good.
Thank you very much.
And coming up next, we will talk about the rest of the cards of the weekend, as there is still a lot of fighting to be done on Fight Pass and on Fox Sports 1. If you need anything, you can follow along as you will on Twitter and Facebook, searching WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show. Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. A doubleheader this weekend. We just talked to Rafael Sunsal. He will be taking on Brian Caraway as they try and figure out what in the world is happening in the world of TJ Dillashaw. Like, you've got Dominic Cruz clearly getting that title shot. Rafael Sunsal, the second longest win streak at that division. He is undefeated at that division since switching. And obviously Dominic Cruz has won 10 in a row, including when he won his belt and then had to step away because of the injuries. So Dominic Cruz, after that impressive win at UFC 178, will step in against TJ Dillashaw. I don't know that they've inked a day yet, have they?
For what?
For Dillashaw and Dominic Cruz.
I don't think so. I think they were eyeing January.
Okay.
Which seemed kind of soon, but
so as Sunsal said, he's going to hang out. If he wins this weekend, he's going to hang out and wait. I don't know where that leaves Uriah Faber and Henan Barao. But that division looks a little wonky.
A little bit.
I mean,
we're trying to shake things out. We're trying to keep up with Fight Pass cards, and with fight nights
Fox
Sports.
And you got to keep up with stuff like this, where we were just talking two segments ago, Nate Diaz, they all of a sudden make nice, and now he's back in the division. Mm-hmm. So you've got Rafael Dos Anjos, who's like, okay, well, I guess I'll do that now until I figure out when I'm going to get a title shot. And then you have a Sunsal goes, ah, oh, cool, I've got the title
shot. I thought it was really interesting when we talked to him, though, that he basically said, hey, I'm going to fight Caraway, and then I'm waiting for my title shot. That's interesting, a guy at that level, because he doesn't have a ton of name brand recognition.
No, and he said that. Like, I don't have the name recognition of a Dominic Cruz or a Michael Bisping, because we talked about Michael Bisping, and, you know, I don't make that kind of money. It's really brutal on the body, and I'll tell you, to go back to that, if you have not watched the videos they put out about Stockholm, those camps, they had the opportunity to show a different view than they do in like the countdowns, where
right.
It's jumping rope and punching people. It looks really fun. Like, everyone should be
like, oh, this is
the Swedish camp looks more like an actual camp, and it's horrific and doesn't look fun at all.
Well, it's interesting too, because Sunsal was a guy who had a title shot.
Yeah,
he was gonna fight
Barao,
yes, and he had the rib injury, and I believe that happened in training.
It did, yes.
He's a guy that knows what a camp can cost you, and like he said, he's not a championship level guy yet. And I don't think he meant by that he doesn't think he can be a champion. He means he can't live off the money of the endorsement.
Sure.
And a couple fights a year and maintain that training that's required for UFC at all times. So when he goes back into camp, he's got to get back in there and he's got to go hard. And he doesn't want to do that for just a random fight. He's a guy that had a title shot. He mentioned it. You know, he doesn't know what he's going to have to do. He's 6-0 in his last six fights, and he's going to be 7-0 if he beats Caraway, and we're probably jinxing the hell out of the poor guy at this
right.
point. But
well, I mean, they're very close in everything except for jiu-jitsu. So when it goes to the ground, Brian Caraway becomes a very scary guy in that universe.
So we've got that, and they're on the Fox Sports 1 card.
Fox Sports 1, that will be Saturday night. The Stockholm will be earlier on Fight Pass. We'll talk about that in a second.
So he knows going into this fight that it's tough. It's a hard fight. He's in the co-main. He's on the fight poster. He's a guy who's like, if I win this should be my shot. I will wait and figure out. I don't know, though, how long that guy can wait in this division. Bantamweight, it's a little bit brutal right now. You've got Cruz coming back. I mean, if he has an all-out war with Dillashaw, let's say that.
And he wins?
And he wins.
Yeah.
Does Dillashaw not get the rematch? If it's a close fight at all, does Cruz not get a rematch if he loses? He's a former champion. This is a tough one in this division to look at these guys and go, I don't know what's going on here. Barao's still hanging out there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I know they still have him on the site ranked as one, but I don't even...
No, we talked about this last week. Barao's nowhere near a title
not,
fight.
Not
but
making weight. You're just not even in the discussion. Like, go fight Mizugaki now, and then let's start all over.
Yeah, but did Barao fall that far? Or is that is that a situation where Barao has to fight, and that might be the fight for Sunsal? Is that a fight?
Why does Rafael have to... First of all, Rafael's already beat TJ Dillashaw.
Mm-hmm.
He's undefeated at that weight class. He'll be 7-0 if he gets past Caraway. No, I don't think he has to fight Hennen Burrell. I think he gets to wait because, let's be honest, I mean, you hang out long enough, somebody's going to get injured. And I really feel like if you're the UFC and your former champion disrespects the belt by not making weight in a ridiculous fashion, mm-hmm. yes, he's got to fight Mizugaki. That's where you go back down to six.
I was just asking the question.
I just don't think... I think that Sun Tzu has done everything they've asked him to do. He fights anybody they put in front of him, and I think if he wants to wait it out and get the title shot, he should. But you're 1,000% right. If Cruz wins, you don't think Dillashaw gets an immediate rematch? Even if Cruz knocks him out in a minute like he did Mizugaki, gets an immediate rematch. We didn't really get to test ourselves against Dominic Cruz. Got to see what's going on. Immediate rematch. And then... if that one ends up being John Jones, Alexander Gustafsson, do you get a trilogy out of that? And by then, Sun Tzu's 56 years old.
Yes, 56. He is 32, and I know he said he didn't feel like he was old, but he's on that edge where fighters feel great, and then they go have a bad fight and realize they got older. Not everybody's Randy Couture.
That is, very few people are actually Randy Couture. The main event is a big one. It is Rory McDonald in the welterweight division taking on Tarek Saffiedine. And if you're not very familiar with Saffiedine, he is somebody that is a game fighter that I enjoy watching. But this fight, I feel, Ken, could be kind of a sleeper.
A sleeper?
Yeah.
Like this is going to be boring?
Yeah. Like I feel like
I didn't know if you meant sleeper by it's underrated.
No. I think it's Sun Tzu and Caraway. If you don't know either one of those guys, I think that's going to be a fun fight. This one, if Rory doesn't come out and push the pace, learn anything from the Robbie Lawler fight and become a bully in this, I think that it could, in my opinion, I think there could be some kind of boring. I mean, Saffiedine, 60% of his fights are decisions.
Yeah, well, I mean, 60% are decisions, but these guys both have amazing records in, like, their last five fights. I mean, let me look here real quick on, I don't have Rory up. So, I mean, he took the loss, obviously, to Robbie Lawler, and Robbie Lawler's going to be in there for that title fight. And so he hasn't had a loss since Condit. I mean, remember, he was the chosen one. He was the guy that was supposed to go in and get GSP's belt and keep it for TriStar for the longest time.
Yes.
And that was going to happen, and then the Carlos Condit fight derailed everything, and he was supposed to take it then. Oh, let me beat Robbie Lawler now that GSP's out of the division for sure. This is going to happen. Didn't happen there. It did not,
but let's go through that, right? Let's go back to 2012. Decision. He loses a decision to Robbie. Decision. And Saffiedine... we have much of the same.
Yeah,
decisions. So I'm
saying, you got to go back to 2010 and Strikeforce.
Right. You know, I'm saying that there is a very real possibility that there's so much on the line for Saffiedine. A great opportunity. You starts Rory McDonald. You starts the number two guy.
You're in Canada.
Canada, you're right in there, right? Rory McDonald, like you said, he was the chosen one. He's won two in a row. Does he really want to chance it against another guy that's dangerous in a different way than Tyron Woodley, but dangerous nonetheless? Really want to chance it, or you want to play it safe and do some pitter-pat and get out?
Yeah, because, I mean, he's one of those guys, too, where you look at it, and he's got that lightweight title in mind. That's where he wants to be. Or I'm sorry, the
welterweight.
Welterweight. He was former King of the Cage lightweight. I don't know why I'm thinking about that right
funny.
Now. But he's got that title in mind, so... yeah, this could definitely be one of those where the main event, everybody's going falling asleep before they want to.
Right, yes.
But like you said, I this should be an interesting card. The Sun Tzu fight is going to be interesting. This card, I think, though, at least shapes up better overall than that Nelson Story card. And I know it's a Swedish card and it's not for us. And if Joe was still on the show, he'd yell at me for a half hour about what Dana White says isn't for me. But
here's the
doesn't make me interested in it when you say it's not for me.
No.
Is that the point? Good, you've done it, UFC. Congratulations.
We're still at welterweight. We're dealing with Gunnar Nelson.
What's interesting about that is we have a welterweight main event in two different cards, and they couldn't be more farther apart. Like, nothing's going to happen with either of these guys winning.
Well, no, because, I mean, even if Gunnar Nelson gets past Rick Story, right? This is an interesting fight. Undefeated Gunnar Nelson in the UFC gets past Rick Story. That's a big win for him, moves him up a little bit. But, again, I really feel that if you're going to compare these two, the winner of the McDonald Saffiedine, that's your number one contender.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
This is, you're figuring out what you're going to do with this guy.
Maybe. I don't even know if we're doing that at this point.
He's undefeated. Like, what do these guys have to do? In
I
this
don't know.
Like, it's so insane that we are in an era where you could be an undefeated fighter and people could have such disinterest in putting you in a title shot.
I don't know. Maybe it's because he's from Iceland. I'm not sure. Just
like, you and I just 20 minutes ago had a conversation about, we don't really want to see Miles Jury fight. He's undefeated!
I didn't say that.
But, like, we're not going, well, I mean, he's undefeated. He should be in the title. We're like, well, maybe if he gets past Cerrone. And, I mean, if he gets past Cerrone, maybe if he fights Nurmagomedov. And then if he beats Henderson
and
twice.
And I don't want to say this is turning into boxing, but when we look at these fights, I mean, there's nothing overwhelmingly interesting there. And I know you've got to build your way up to that undefeated record, and it's amazing when you're undefeated. But there's nobody on that list that makes me go, oh, you know what? You should be in there with Hendricks. There's not a person on this list when you look at that undefeated list. Yeah, he's undefeated. A lot of guys undefeated in Dubuque, Iowa. I'm not saying that they're Gunnar Nelson, but I'm not trying to take anything away from it. We're getting beyond the fact that you're undefeated and you get the title shot. Can you make money with that type of thing? Sure. Kat Zingano's going to be the example of that when they put her in there with Ronda Rousey.
I know, but you could be undefeated if you beat just a bunch of girls.
Gunnar Nelson fighting girls. that's what we could do in that division.
Right, there
I
we
suppose.
Go. Yeah. So that is going on this
Finally,
weekend.
We've got an opponent for Cyborg.
Fight pass for the Stockholm card. Halifax ends up on Fox Sports 1. You can follow along with everything on Twitter and Facebook. Have an awesome weekend. Try not to follow along with Kung Lee and his drug addiction to HGH.
Now I know why he was so mad at me when I talked to him.
Because he was out of his
mind.
Out of his mind on a drug.
You want to fight? No, Kong, I don't want to fight. I want to talk to you.
On a drug that has a half-life of an hour and a half, and you somehow test hot for it. So that's online.
I'm thinking I caught him in minute 45, by the way.
On Facebook at Wow Show. It's Way of the Warrior. Have a great weekend.
Way of the Warrior.